Hello, happy people. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in the hot tub with me is my wife. Say hello.
Hi, guys.
We're going to talk about forecasting our misery in order to lead a happier life. So, inevitably, every time I go to some mixer, I meet some young college recent grad who is so happy that they are in San Francisco, they found a new job, and they just can't wait to change the world. And it's really a big juxtaposition between my older friends who are in their late 30s or 40s who don't have the same type of enthusiasm because they've been scarred from, life, really. I mean, they've been backstabbed. They've had a lot of failure. They've had a lot of problems. And what happens, I think, is that those who aren't able to forecast their misery end up like 10 years later, 15, 20 years later, kind of stuck without many options. Because they're stuck at a job that they really don't really like, yet they don't have the savings or investments to have other opportunities. What are your thoughts?
I totally remember thinking along the same lines when I was right out of college. I was really energetic and excited about working and really didn't think about how I would be feeling, 5, 10, 15 years later. And it really does change the more you work, the more you have to grind through things. And yeah, there's a lot I know now that I wish I knew back then.
So what are some of the things that you thought would be great in your career that ended up not being great? Or what are some of the bad things that happened to you where you thought, you know what, I really can't take this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore.
Stress. Stress would be the biggest one. I handled stress better when I was younger because I could take a lot more of it. I wasn't doing as many things outside of the office. I could get by on a lot less sleep, and I was more hungry back then. And as time went on, I just started to wear out. The stress got worse and worse, and it really started to affect my health as I got older, and I didn't anticipate that.
Yeah, stress is a big one. I remember when I was maybe 5 years into my career, my big boss got fired. And then so there was a new big boss I had to build relationships with. And then he got fired or demoted a year later. And then there's another big boss. And then so over the course of my 11-year career with my last firm, I had 5 or 6 different bosses. And each time I had to rekindle the relationship, and it just felt so tiring. How many bosses did you have?
I was fortunate that I didn't have very much turnover in terms of bosses. My very first job, I had one direct manager. That firm shut down, and he brought me over to the next job that I went to. And I changed bosses there, but I still reported to my previous boss.
Okay, so you're pretty lucky.
Yeah, and then at my last gig, which was about 10 years long, I had started out with 2 managers, and then one left the company, but the other one stayed, and he remained my manager for the rest of my time there. So I was lucky.
Okay, you were lucky, but then you also got passed over for a promotion that you thought you deserved. And what happened there?
Yeah, so early in my career at that company, I was getting promoted pretty regularly and things were going great. Then towards the end, there was a senior position that I was ready for that my boss was telling me, that would be the next step and I was going in the right direction. So I was all prepared for it, expecting it, and I got passed over by 2 other guys. And that really, really affected me.
Okay, so what did you do about it?
In the beginning, I was furious and I had to really get my emotions in check. I was so upset that I walked out of the room with my manager. But eventually we were able to sit down and I basically laid it all out on the table. I told him how upset I was, that I really felt that I was gonna get it. I didn't understand what happened.
Yeah, sounds kind of bad. So did you provide an ultimatum?
Well, I did, actually. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. My memory is getting fuzzy as time goes on. But I was basically like, I need to get promoted in the next round, which was, fortunately, we did it twice a year. So 6 months from then, I was like, I want to get promoted.
Wait, did you get promoted 6 months later?
I did.
Okay, good.
Because they were not expecting my reaction
at all. Fury?
Yeah, I was pretty, what do you say? I don't know.
Pretty fierce.
Yeah, okay.
The fury, you're pretty fierce. Okay, good. So you know what? In retrospect, 6 months is not that long, but I think that was finally the catalyst where you said, you know what? Nobody's going to look out for me except for myself. I'm going to engineer my layoff and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, part of me wanted to stay in order to get that promotion because I had the stubbornness in me was like, I cannot leave until I get this title.
Right.
I deserve it.
Right,
I need
right.
it. So,
and then once you got it, you're like, all right,
yeah,
who cares about the next level?
Yeah. But it was also, the stress was just building, but I definitely took, I took my foot off the gas
right.
when I didn't get that promo and right. had to wait because I was just like, what's the point? You know, the guys that got the title instead of me.
One guy left, right? Shortly after.
One of them ended up leaving not that long after, and he was working hard, I'm not that upset that he got it, but the other guy I know slacked off
Slacker.
A decent amount because we sat close to each
right,
other.
Right, right, right.
And yeah, he's older, but I felt like I was definitely putting in a lot of work at that time for a huge client that we were bringing over. So I was really disappointed. And yeah, I was like, okay, I got to make changes and look beyond that company, for my career.
All right, so the bottom line with work is that people are unable to forecast their misery at work. Therefore, they don't save aggressively and they don't invest aggressively enough before that point of misery. So if you had been saving and investing aggressively, were you, or you didn't even really think about that?
I was saving a lot of money. Except for the first early part of my 20s.
Right.
I was pretty good about putting money aside into 401k
right.
and then not spending a full paycheck, making sure that I was putting money aside.
Do you think any of my frugality rubbed off on you, or is just your own frugality?
Both. I think both.
Okay. Well, the bottom line, listeners, is that if you think everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows over a 10, 15, 20-year career, you will be sorely disappointed and mistaken. Bad things happen all the time, and I would love for you guys to think about what are the roadblocks in the future where you will no longer be happy and your cash hoard, your savings, and your investments will give you the confidence to move on or take a break and do something new. All right, moving on to health. So in America, about 60% of us are obese, and something like, 20% are morbidly obese. And we know that if you're obese or morbidly obese, you have a higher risk of heart disease, which is the number one killer in America. And I think a lot of this stems from portion control or lack of portion control, eating processed foods and sugar, and a lack of exercise because we're working all day.
I hear exactly what you're saying. When I was younger, I'd eat ramen noodles because they were cheap. I didn't think about how bad it was for me.
Is it bad, ramen noodles?
Yeah, it's not healthy.
Look
at the ingredients. Come on.
I don't know.
If it costs 10 cents at the grocery store, it can't be good for you. But why do you think people aren't good at forecasting their misery in terms of health?
I think it's because eating good stuff and not exercising is easier. It's more pleasurable to eat yummy foods. It's easier to sit on your butt and not exercise. And it just slowly catches up on you, right? Like, you don't feel pain after 1 week of being unhealthy, even really after 6 months or a year. But if you compound that after 5 years or 10 years, you suddenly don't recognize yourself. And that's kind of why a lot of us don't like to look at younger pictures of ourselves, because we realize, wow, we were pretty fit then, or we were pretty good looking then. And the funny thing is that in the moment, when we look at ourselves, oftentimes we don't see someone that we love and accept. It's kind of an interesting psychology. But I think the slow deterioration of our health and our bodies is the reason why we are unable to forecast our misery until, hey, one day we get a stroke and then boom, we lose our voice. we lose our cognitive abilities, our motor functions, and then, you know, that's too late. So yeah, kind of sad. So for all of us listening and who want to live a longer life, you know, if you're on the path to financial independence, or you have achieved financial independence, or you're very, very wealthy, your number one goal is to live a happy and long life, to live forever if possible, right? If you are just miserable, well, you know, you don't have to really live that long. But if you're happy and you've got all the money in the world to help your family and help other people, we should be eating healthier, exercising more, stretching, and working on our mental health as well. I think mental health is something that many of us don't talk enough about.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else are we bad at forecasting our misery about? Well, I think a lot of us don't put enough effort into learning social skills, communication skills, to get to know people and build positive relationships. And one of the things that happens in life is that we need other people to get on with things, to move forward. You know, one example is, let's say you get laid off from your company. If you have a really great social network, people will want to help you. People will vouch for you and introduce you to other organizations and companies and people to want to hire you. If you are trying to start a business, if you have a solid social network, people will much readily provide you capital or introduce you to people with capital. And the other thing I'm thinking about is, let's say you have a son or a daughter who is trying to get into so-and-so school or get so-and-so a job. People in your network will also vouch for you, vouch for him or her, and try to help you. What are your thoughts?
I think that's true. So much of when we're in college, we're focused on networking in college in order to get your first job. And then once you get that job, you kind of forget about networking. You're focused on meeting your coworkers, but that's kind of it. You don't really think beyond that, when you really can benefit from thinking beyond that, because most people aren't staying at one company for more than a couple years now. People job hop a lot.
Right, right. And there's meetup.com, which is a great way to join different organizations that where you share similar interests.
Yeah, because meetup, a lot of it is hobby related, but there are definitely a good number of meetups that are network career oriented
right,
as well.
Right, right. I think the meetups that are hobby related, where you share a common interest outside of work, are the most effective, because when you're sharing some kind of interest, so in my example, it's tennis. When you're on the court and you're playing, you can be playing with a billionaire, a CEO, whatever, and you can be just an unemployed fella, and you're equal on the court for that 2 hours or hour at a time. And I think that's where the relationships really build. When you're building a relationship, not for any kind of ulterior motive, just because of a common interest.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing we should all think about is Toastmasters, you know, joining a group to give public speeches. Not only does it practice, you know, allows you to practice structuring your thoughts, but it also gives you an audience to speak to. I mean, how many of us speak to, you know, a public audience?
Not many,
right? I mean, one of the main reasons why I'm doing this podcast, not only so that our son can hear us as he gets older and, you know, tries to understand what mom and dad are thinking about, but it's also to practice giving oral delivery about what I care about. And, you know, I've been spending 9 years and 1,500 plus posts writing. I thought, hey, might as well work on oral delivery.
And I'll add that building social skills and a social network doesn't always come easy. It's definitely harder for some people than others. It's hard for me.
Yeah, but whatever is good is not easy. A lot of times you just have to put in the effort. And you want to build that social capital long before you ever need any help. Build that massive social capital bank, because we will all need help one day. So, listeners, go out there and reach out to the people that you like, you care about. Send them an email. Give them a crazy phone call. I mean, nobody expects phone calls nowadays, but it's nice to meet up with people, have coffee with them with no agenda. Seriously, no agenda. Take them out for coffee, lunch, dinner. Just catch up on life and don't ask them for anything. And I think they will appreciate that and they'll wonder about that. You know, one of the things, a good example at our house is that there's like this big tree behind our house and it's always like growing, and it'll eventually block our ocean view on one level. And so what I've been doing for the past year is being really nice to my neighbor who owns this tree. You know, we came back from Hawaii one day, I gave him a box of those Hawaiian pineapple cookies, and he goes, "Oh, what's this for? What do you need?" I'm like, "Oh, nothing at all. I just wanted to give you and your kids something from Hawaii." And he's like, "Oh, okay, thanks a lot, Sam. I really appreciate that." So maybe if I give him like 3 more years of cookies, by the time the tree starts blocking our view, I'll be like, "Hey neighbor, do you mind if I, you know, chop your tree down or trim it a little bit?"
Yeah.
So that's an example of trying to build social capital for an ulterior motive that I don't want to tell him in the beginning. All right. So as we conclude this podcast, let's all think about some upcoming misery points that we might encounter. So what are some of your upcoming misery points that you think you have to work on now?
Arthritis. It seems totally random being in my late 30s, but my parents have both been complaining about arthritis recently. And with our son getting more and more mobile, playing with him is very interactive. And I'm often on the floor, standing on my knees, right, or doing things where I'm in an awkward position that, right, I normally wouldn't be.
All right.
And for the last couple weeks, I've been waking up at night and being like, "Oh my God, my knees hurt. What's going on?" And I'm like, "I'm okay. Too young."
Right. So that means you're going to do more stretching.
I'm just being kinder to my knees. So I'm trying not to bend my knees in weird ways or stand on them anymore.
Okay.
Because they will wear out.
And there's got to be some exercises where you can strengthen your muscles around your ligaments and joints and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, for me, I think I have a laundry list of things. Also, a decline in physical health, cognitive ability. You know, I worry about our son getting bullied in school. Because I remember getting bullied myself and always having to fight back. But I was fierce when someone bullied me. I mean, I remember if they called me names, I'd call them back. If they punched me, I would punch them back. It was like war if you messed with me. And I just don't know whether my son will have that type of personality or attitude where he stands up for himself. And I think we have to figure out how to make him independent, self-sufficient, respectable, kind, and all that stuff. So it's like quite a big journey that we need to work on being present parents, and I guess read as much as possible to learn how to raise a happy toddler and young adult. And then finally, I want to spend as much time with my parents as possible. They're in their early 70s, and you know, life is short and we need to cherish our loved ones. So thanks so much for joining us in the hot tub this afternoon, this evening, or this morning, wherever you are. Leave a comment if you have any questions and you want to share your thoughts. Thank you.